You may be seated this time. Now, you won't need to record this. This is just for us. Hey, Father, we're very grateful to you, Lord, that you're with us in this hour to help us with the study of your word, which we know is meat and drink to our souls. It is life. And Lord, we have no apologies for this word except to say it is kind of pitiful in one way that it's in our hands instead of angels, but then you wanted it this way, so then it must be wonderful after all that you can take vessels of clay, and the riches and the treasures of God lie in those vessels, Lord, which are here this morning. So, Father, we count it a great privilege to be as brothers and sisters in the Word, very friendly, very much united, very much of one heart and soul. That's the way it should be. That's the way it will be, Lord, because there is a bride. Not that we constitute any whole of it, any way stretch of imagination, but Lord, by faith and by the understanding that we know we have been called into the final counsels of God and the last great act of salvation in this world. And we know it, Lord, and we're very grateful. Now clear our minds, O God, this morning we pray. Let the word go plumb down deep into our hearts, transforming us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, I'm going to bring a message this morning on loving or loathing. Loving or loathing, and this message was prepared back in June, so that no one need to think for one minute that I am in the area of sniping at anybody. That is not true. But you know, and I think if you don't know, I will inform you, that a great deal of my preaching is remedial because as I go around the country and I hear things and I see things that I understand are not compatible with the word as taught by the prophet, or the emphasis is in another direction, I begin teaching on in order to bring the people back to center, which is what we really need to do. Now, of course, I admitted to you that I was swinging the pendulum quite a bit to one side when it came to the Prussia, on the grounds of showing you he was presently here, and as the messages continued, you saw the pendulum come back because you were able to see in what way he was here, in what form, and what way he, and what he is doing amongst us and for us, and we're still in that tremendously glorious area of the middle of the road where we see him unveiled before us. And what his present ministry is, speaking, of course, of Almighty God through his Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to talk this morning, then, on the fact of his presence and the attitude which must come because of the knowledge of that presence. And there is no gray-white section, as some people believe there is, but there is either the black or the white, and it is either hot or cold. Now, Jesus said, and you know I'm telling you the truth, he said, because you are lukewarm, you nauseate me. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and I want to come in. Now, he said, you nauseate me because in knocking at that door, you just want me around and say, isn't that fine? He is here. You're lukewarm. Now, either bring me in or kick me out. Now, that's what we're talking about in a nutshell. Because we cannot be indifferent this morning. I have preached, and you know I have preached for over 2 years, just slightly west of us and south. And the response is exactly as I'm nailing it down this morning. As much as people think they can be lukewarm, they're going to die for their lukewarmness. There's no way you can be lukewarm. Either get hot or cold this morning. And get out of God's hair and my hair. Take your stand once and for all. Now, loving or loathing. We go to the scriptures of Numbers, and we'll read quite a few scriptures. And maybe I'm too tough on you already by saying, get out of my hair and God's hair. Stick around and enjoy it. Because believe me, I'm going to tell you flat. There's no middle ground as far as I'm concerned this morning. It is one side of the perpendicular or the other, loving or loathing. Okay? In Numbers 11 chapter, in other words, we speak to you decisively this morning or we have no business preaching. This is not a hit and miss message, this is on target. 11th chapter, beginning at verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now notice, the next multitude is identified and the children of Israel are identified. And you will notice the influence of the next multitude on the children. It says one were lusting. And it said the others got stirred up. Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Now listen, what they had back there was okay at that time. But it wouldn't do it this time, and they didn't have enough brains to know it. Now, Israel murmured. Many people don't know what that word murmur is. It is not murmur, it's repine. And repine means to long for the good old days. I'm going to tell you something. There were no good old days in my life. Back in the good old days, these people talk about if you could buy a wagon load of groceries for $5. I didn't have the $5. I'd buy a small bag like this for $50. Thank God I got the $50. There are no good old days. There are good present days. And when that next multitude got all messed up and hungering for flesh, the children began saying, hey, I think we did miss something. I missed nothing from Pentecost. When I left Pentecost, Pentecost left me. I never was a Jesus only. It never will be. And when you get that spirit on you, something happens, you never get out of it. I don't know one person yet. Never lost it. Maybe there is one. I'd like to find it. And I don't credit you. Some of you sitting here don't know what I'm talking about. That's fine. Don't know what I'm talking about. Just leave it anyway. And the manna was this coriander seed. Almost brought some coriander seed and let each one of you munch on it. Coriander seed's a very fine condiment. I wish I could cook like the people that use it. They make the best stews and all, but my wife won't agree, but she ain't a connoisseur anyway. Except when she married me, isn't it? It's delicious. East Indians, fabulous cooks. Orient. It's coriander, and the color of delium. Now that's a resin. I suppose therefore it's kind of amber. I don't know. Maybe it could be blue. There's resin of all kinds of different colors. Most resins I know are kind of amber, some are white, like some pulled out of the pine. I don't know. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills. Now, it must have got hard. It must have been worked with in many ways and shapes and forms. It was versatile. It was good form. And they baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. You know, fresh oil's got a nice taste. You ever tried almond oil? Delicious. Oh, yeah. Just that rancid stuff, kid you. Fresh oil every day. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Dew from heaven, bread from heaven. Okay, chapter 21 of Numbers. Now we're beginning to get the groundwork of our subject, as you can see. Alright. 5. And the Lord hearkened, no. And the people spake against God. And against Moses. Now you know why they spoke against God? Because God gave them that man as their food. And said, hey, this is going to get you over there. Now that you've come out, this is what I'm giving you to substitute for every single thing that you left behind you. You know something? Dogs keep their tails behind them, but shepherds dock the tails of the sheep. Hope none of you sheep got your tail still wagging behind you. You leave your tail behind. When you come out of Egypt, you're docked. Now he said, I'm giving you something else.
Now they murmured against God because Moses was not responsible for the manna. God was responsible for the manna.
We're talking about manna. We'll get more of it as time goes on.
All right. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loathe this like bread. Now listen, they were carping as though they had nothing when they had everything.
You're a nice bunch this morning. Sinking in, right? So sinking in? Come on.
Okay, don't forget. And the Lord sent fiery serpents amongst the people.
You say there are people not going to pay a price for turning down God and what He sends? I don't care who He sends it by. You bet your life they're going to pay a price, it says right here, because this is the Exodus.
And a bit the people and much people of Israel died. Now notice, Israel dying didn't say mixed multitude. You can't snake bite a mixed multitude heathen.
You're part of the serpent's crowd. I never heard of a python devouring a cobra yet. Never heard of a snake eating a snake. Just thought a son about it. Any herpetologists here?
I got to study that one out. Israel. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. They got a little respite. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set upon a pole. It will come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when you look upon it, shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. It came to pass the serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, of course, we go into typology on Christ there, but I'm not going into it. I just want to bring out exactly what happened. All right, now we're going to get some understanding of this in the book of Psalms. We're going to hear what a prophet said about this. 78th Psalm, and I suppose this is David. And we're going to start reading at the 19th verse. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now listen, they're saying, can God furnish a table when he'd already done it? That's right. Now, what was the table they asked for? Can God do it? Let's find out. Behold, he smote the rock, the waters gushed out, the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? He'd already done it. Can he provide flesh for this people? It was when Adam and Eve got in the flesh from being spiritual bodies that the trouble came. See? It's carnality that destroys people. Spirituality and carnality are viciously opposite. Or as they say, they're diametrically opposed. Now, oh, they say, don't you tell me we didn't believe in God. Here's a prophet saying they didn't believe in God. What God? The revealed God. And then say you're tired of presence, 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 when all it tells you is about the real God.
What kind of a God have you got sitting here this morning? Now let's get down to business. I didn't write the book, but I sure can preach it. That's my job. And I know the author, too, this morning. I know the Word and the author. Because the Word and the author is one. Okay? I just want you to know, like Brother Brand said, I can preach what I want in my own church. For the first time, this is my own church, and nobody gets it. And I will preach what I want. Just because I'm going to seal this door up doesn't mean I can't get through. I'm not threatening, I'm just telling you. You can tell me the same. I just want to see your eyes above all this hogwash we've been going through. That's all.
Now they believe not in God and trusted not in His salvation.
Yeah, what salvation has God got? See, this book is a wonderful book. It comes together if you give it a chance. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down man upon them to eat and given them of the wheat of heaven. That word corn is wheat.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His children along. He maketh me to lie down beside the still waters, leading me in those green pastures. Let me tell you, know nothing of that unless you have the wheat that is growing on the verdant pastures of God in heaven, which is spiritual food. He gave him that which came from above. Do you believe that came from above? Do you believe that was angel food? Do you believe that man literally ate a substance that God made in heaven? How would you like that this morning?
Oh, merciful God, I can't wait. I thought carrots would taste good in the Garden of Eden, but this has got that beat up hollow. Actually, I'm not kidding this morning, brother. Either we believe in reality, we don't believe in reality. Either, listen, do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Either this book is a lie or it is true. God actually manufactured, made bread and sent it down from heaven.
Amen.
It was not something created upon earth. It was not something from earthly elements. It was something that God Himself sent down from heaven. If you can't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. Oh, Brother Bale, a pretty figure of speech.
If you didn't see smoke come out of my ears that time, you missed something. Oh, brother, this is not a pretty figure of speech I'm dealing with this morning.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart they actually ate a bread that angels ate. I believe that. I can't believe any other because I believe in God. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the foe. They couldn't get filled up on the bread from heaven, so they get filled up on something else. One man got filled with pride, one man got filled with air, another man got filled with God. One man got filled with doctrine, one man got filled with creed, one man got filled with the Word. He caused an east wind to blow in heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust and feathers, and feathered fowls as the sand of the sea, and let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. When they said, we don't want this anymore, I'm tired of it, I loathe it, I can't stand it. Hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm not playing. You say, Brother Dale, who set you up as that? I didn't explode, but I was about to. Because I know just what this word is.
Amen. Amen.
I don't have to judge. It's already been judged. Brother Branham said, I phoned Jack Moore and I said, why is he the way he is in Revelation chapter 1? The long robe, the sash, girdle, the long hair. Oh, that's him and his veneration. And Brother Branham said, no way could I take it. And I went to God and God said, that's the judge. By whom shall he judge the world? By one Christ Jesus who is the Word. He rained flesh. They ate, they were filled, for He gave them their own desire. For they were not estranged from their lust. Let's have gifts in the church, hallelujah. I could mention a certain man's name that Bob Brown talked to recently. Because this man mentioned my name and attributed me some kind of a world ministry as I was influencing people with this so-called food system. And it's gone around the world, just the way I preach it. I'm not ashamed of it. And Bob said, just a minute, how many TV programs does Lee have? How many times is he on the radio? What books does he write? And he said, according to what you're telling me, you're wrong because you're running around the world when Lee stays home. You're sending out literature when Lee doesn't. You're on radio where Lee isn't. What are you talking about? Guy had to pull his horns in. We want gifts. We want this. We want the other thing. Why? Why? Is the man a two-ting? How do you only get your word? We're talking about what you eat. We're talking about what came down from heaven. They were filled. He gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from us, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. What you think comes out of your mouth goes down here. You feed on it. Comes out of your mouth. You rethink. Comes out of your mouth. You feed on it. And there's a vicious cycle. And you become exactly that. Where is that found in Proverbs? Anybody got any concordance? Forget it. It says a man's belly should be satisfied with the fruit of his lips or something like that, and by the increase thereof shall he be fed. It tells you every time it comes out of your mouth, it goes down again and comes up bigger, goes down again and comes up bigger until you and that thing are one. I preach whole sermons on that, so we ain't got time this morning. All right, listen. The wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not his wondrous works. Now, what brought the whole thing on? Manna. What was his wondrous works? Giving manna bread from heaven. Three pulls in the hand, reading the heart and mind, bringing the word. Bringing the manna. Bringing down that which we need. Oh, but they kept on sinning. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity. Their years in trouble was just a waste of time for people like that to be on the earth. Now listen, I'm simply reading the Bible. See? Okay. We go to John 6. And we read a little more in here. This begins to give us more of our understanding. 45. And it is written in the prophets, and they, that in the original is thy children, shall all be taught of God. It doesn't say they shall all be taught of God. It says the children shall be taught of God. You know why? Because the illegitimate can't go in the temple to learn. He's barricaded for 10 generations. He's kept out of the sanctuary. He's kept from participating. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. He tells you right there that I spoke of last Sunday, there is a light that strikes. Now, it started in the garden, a light struck, and you've got to always come according to that light. And if you don't come according to that light, you don't have salvation, you don't have reality. It's those who are teachable. Now let's find out when Rome. Well, I'm not going to go to John 8. Maybe I will later. All right. Verse 40. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. In other words, Jesus could say, I want to tell you flat. There's no man, not even John, ever saw God. All they saw was the environment or the cloak of God, the covering of God, which could be like a robe of fire. But he said, I want to tell you, I saw him as spirit. I literally saw God. Truly, truly, I say, he that believeth on me is everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Now look, it was to carry them over. But remember, the millennium was not immortality. See? Your fathers ate and are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now listen, it hasn't happened yet. There's one person here who, if the Lord carries, won't die. But he said about himself, this is that manna. And when you eat it, you won't die. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Do you believe this? I wonder if you really do. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just checking you out. Because you better stand with it if you believe it. Because I believe it.
I'm not saying I believe and you don't believe. Get that flat. I'm just telling you flat. Where you've got to stand this morning according to what I'm preaching. I'll live forever and the bread that I give is my... And I will give for the life of the world. Now he's talking about his death substituting entirely until the hour that somebody eats and doesn't die. Now he'll be one of those that's already in this category here. The Jews therefore strove, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Why, he's a man and he's president. Okay, George, you chop on his ankle and I'll chop on his head. Might as well live it up, laugh it up, and beat your eyes. Come on, let's cut our throats good. Don't sneak around, cut your throat good. You're going to get drunk for God's sake, get drunk. I can't stand this shilly-shally stuff. Jesus said, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Has been Son of God for 2,000 years. This is Son of Man.
Amen. I'll drag.
Eat his flesh and drink his blood. You got no life in you. Who eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up for the last day. That's wonderful. That's for the guys that have passed on. But notice all the time the two threads run there. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Have immortality. Now the same one that said it has got to do it. What was the flesh of God? Jesus. What was the blood of God? Jesus. Sacrifice. Who's speaking? God speaking. Who's he speaking? And God speaking in the Son. And he said, you come this way for 2,000 years, there's going to be a day when the Son of Man ministry comes back, the Son of Man revealed. And that's the time that you eat. You'll not die, you're going to be changed, and there'll be a rapture.
Amen.
All right. My flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He says it to the two groups. He that eats my flesh, drinks my blood, dwells in me, and I in him. And the last day it goes a step further, and that deal, I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. As the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat man and are dead, he that eats of this bread shall live forever. Now that's been for seven solid church ages, but there's a group that doesn't die. Now, these things said he in the synagogues he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? This is a hard saying. Who needs Elijah? Who needs him to come back? Who needs anything? Hallelujah, I'm born again. I got it made. Hallelujah, you ain't born again. You ain't got it made. You just think you have. You just think you have. Because he said different. When Jesus knew in himself, his disciples murmured at it, he said, does this offend you? Are you offended? I'm here the bread of life. Are you offended? Oh, no, far be it from you. We're really not offended, you bunch of liars. What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? What if you see the dead come out of the ground? See? It is the Spirit that quickens the flesh, profits nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And he's telling you where the whole thing lies. It lies in the Word. It's called the engrafted Word. Peter said, being born again, not a corruptible sperm, but by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. You say, well, that means, I'll tell you what it means. It means that I was born a corruptible sperm, I'm a human being, now I gotta have the other. That's where you read your Bible wrong. It says, being born again, you that are already born a human sperm, you be born again, but not of the corruptible Word. There's no such thing as anybody coming out of this ground immortal in the first resurrection unless he's truly born of the uncorrupted word of the hour. And there's an uncorrupted word of this hour.
Amen. Amen.
That's exactly why it says you've got to come to the light. In other words, the Roman Catholics couldn't do it. No way, if they weren't in the election. But as soon as Luther stepped out and they heard the word, the Roman Catholics started coming. All through that age it happened. They had to leave their background. They had to take the word of the hour. Then Wesley came on the scene. The Lutherans had to leave what they had. Pentecost came on the scene. The Methodists had to leave their word. Now we're on the scene, and they've got to leave their word. And if we're not the end, they'll have to leave this. But we are the end.
Amen.
Because, you see, the signs are in. The signs never were in before because Israel was not back in the homeland. You've got to start right with the timepiece of God. Then you've got to go to the women who indicate the spiritual temper of the church. See? And the women right now are in a limbo. I'll talk about that sometime or privately, some of you. But there is a limbo right now with the women. You've got to get out of it. You've got to begin to show some of these things that are necessary to be seen. And they're just little things, but you're slipping right back where you were. Number one, high heels. I said it. Let's get all your high heels out. I'm sorry, but get them out. Get rid of them. They've got to go, period. Or the next thing, you're going to be wanting something outside of that word. As sure as you're knee-high to a grasshopper. I'm not here to run you down. I'm here to help you. I didn't say take your shoes off. I didn't say that just get your heels out where they belong. That's number one. You say, why? Because that's in the Bible. next thing, you'll be wearing straps and cutting the hair. That's exactly where you'll go. You see, I won't. You're wrong. That's where you will go. I'm telling you that's where you'll go. And I'll be here to see it. See? Now, let's just be very nice with each other. And I am very nice. You don't realize that, but I am a very nice person.
Amen.
you can't hear from God and not be some kind of a person. You know, I didn't have the nice that time, did I? I just said some guy. Now, there's some of you that believe not for Jesus knew in the beginning who they were that believe not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, I said, you no man can come to me except we're given him of my Father. From that time, many disciples went back and walked no more. And Jesus said, will you go away? And Simon Peter, and listen, Simon Peter was a failure within himself. He was a mess within himself. Don't think he wasn't. Every one of us is a mess within ourselves. And every one of us can fail in certain ways. Because I talked about high heel slippers doesn't mean you're gone. It just means you're perfectly human and you're running true to your human form. Just cut it out. That's all. Men begin doing what they need to do too. Let me treat your wives with love and respect and kindness. This message has got so many men messed up with a hogwash that they think wives should be tramped on. And I get phone calls all around the country and I say, well, how do you treat your wife? Or I'm the boss. Well, drop dead. You're not boss fit to run a hog, let alone a decent woman. No, that's right. Much trouble right in the world today is the count of the men, not the women. So I show you, you get both sides in here. Sure. The more that I love the Lord and all, the better I treat my wife. Just shows I'm more fit to be her head than, you know, than otherwise. You got to get out of God. Then Simon Peter answered, whom should we go? You alone got the words of eternal life. He put it right there. He said, who are we going to go to? He said, you're the only one that can tell us. You're the only one that got a word, because he understood creation. And he knew God said, let there be light. There wasn't anything before God spoke. And when God spoke it, God had to be in that word and behind that word and around that word, and that thing came into existence. And it's word. The Bible says every bit of creation was by the word of God. God maintains that same word. And he said, you've got the word for it. Listen, don't you know this morning you've got a God? If he looked down and he said to one little babies here, like Caleb, he said, Caleb, this morning I'm going to immortalize you. That child will be absolutely immortal. He said, I just don't know if he would. Well, you don't know God. You don't know the word. That's all. It's just that simple.
fathers are losing our hair. I've lost too many of mine already, mostly through foolishness. God, this morning, he spoke down and said, Lee, he said, I'm going to give you a new head of hair. Speak, my hair is right in existence. Peter understood it. You alone got the word. If he was God, he had the word. He was the word. You understand what I'm saying? See, we're getting into the nitty-gritty of this message and why I preach the way I do and why I resent and will not tolerate my feet being cut off. He didn't just say they persecute in this city, flee to another city. My word is this and I'm going to stand with it. If the people don't want it here, I'll go someplace else. Let me tell you something. Came up just the other day, and I don't resent anybody thinking of this because it's just exactly the way it should be taught. Well, if the place is dirty, should we go and get a little room somewhere? No, I preach on the lawn. I'm not moving from here. Because here's where God told me, northeast of my place, I'd be talking to people. This is northeast. I got my map out. I looked at Fostoria because I know people there. I looked at Findlay because I know people there. And I said, no way can I drive in the wintertime. Or will I drive? Well, as far as I know, this is the place I'm supposed to be. So you sure got to fight me. You'll walk out this time, not me. I'm laying it on the line. This tape will go a lot of places around the country, and I care less. Because I haven't come this far for nothing. I haven't heard from heaven for nothing. I'm under the bonds of grace and servitude to God as never before in my life to tell you the things of God. And I'll do it too. And I'm not angry. I'll tell you what, sometimes you just need to speak up.
Amen.
And let it be known, this, only one person, one family can chase me out of here, and that's the Evanses. And he ain't about to do it. I'm older than he is, and when he ain't looking like him with the 4x4. Now, I'm dead serious. I can laugh about it. I'm dead serious. I want you to know something. I ain't kidding. This is one place where the devil doesn't get me again. I'm not saying he can't get me someplace else. Now, hold it. I ain't that smart. I am not that smart. But I've said, dog bite me once, shame on dog. Dog bite me twice, shame on dog. Me, shame on me, rather. I'll put that back in the poor dog. I've been bit more than once. So will you go away? He said, no, you've got the words of eternal life. Words of eternal life. He didn't say you've got eternal life. He said you've got the words of eternal life. God speaking his life to you and me. Did you hear what I said? God speaking his life to you and me, because if his word is spirit and life, and that is God's word, God has spoken his life to you and me.
Amen.
You said, you mean to tell me that that thing received on the auditory nerves goes to my mind, gets down in here? Yeah, that's right. That's what I said. Do you understand that this word changes your atoms? Where does this word repose? It changes your atoms. In your atoms. Huh? Now, come on, don't look at me and bat your eyes. This is a different kind of a church you've ever been in your life. I'm going to re-preach what I preach and re-preach it again and sit down and talk with you about it.
Amen.
We're not playing church anymore. Don't even look critical. Open your mouth and let the rain of God fall on you. I don't have a bit of trouble. You see, that's you. No, it ain't me. I'm just like you. Ain't no difference between you and me. You want to cut me, I'll bleed. You get cut back, too. I'm not even going to be a blood bank or a cotton picking mosquito. Words of eternal life. Now listen. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why? Because he told them so. See? If you don't believe that I am, you're going to die in your sin. He told them. See? Of course you say, well, wasn't he vindicated? Sure, we've had vindication too.
Jesus said, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you as the devil? Not a devil. That's not true. It's the devil. This man let the devil incarnate him. You're going to sit here and tell me that you cannot put up a spirit of unbelief and have a spirit incarnate you? Let me tell you flat, you can be a temple of devils. You can even be a good man full of the Holy Ghost and have a genuine gift. The devil can turn you right around his finger and use you if you let him. Brother Branham said so. So we're not standing here in our own strength this morning. We're standing here in the strength of a word. Either he said it or he didn't say it. And if he said it, he meant it. Because he cannot say without meaning because he's in it. Then if he is in it, it's got to be. Then if that's in me, it's got to be part of him. So I become one with him. I'm not only one with him by the fact of a literal rejoining back by the Holy Spirit, but I'm one with him in word. We have become the living word. Forget it. We'll get up. Scripture read. He spake of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. Listen, he named him and he had his pedigree. You know God knows your pedigree? And you're going to find out on Judgment Day that God will trace you plumb back to original sources. That's right. Israel stands in clans. They'll be traced right back. They go to one father, which is Jacob, and then it all funnels into Abraham, goes right back to Adam, where we fell, and goes right back to Christ, in whom we were. She said, Judas, you never had a part in it. You say, you mean to tell me that guy could have a ministry stand around Jesus and say hallelujah, absolutely say hallelujah, but when the showdown came, he showed exactly who he was? His brother Branham said Judas never could stand up to the Holy Ghost. He never got to Pentecost. But don't tell me he didn't have a part in that ministry because he did. But like the mixed multitude, he began screaming for the past. Yeah, we've got it all over in people that around this so-called message. Now, that's the text. I want you to start thinking something here real quick, because I hope you've been thinking already. Number one, I mentioned in Numbers 11 and 4, a mixed multitude had come out of Egypt, and that whole crowd was comprised of three kinds of people, a believer, a mixed an unbeliever, and a make-believer. There were three kinds of people there, and there was also the foolish virgin. Yep. Always takes four somewhere down the line, although some may sort of cross over each other. Unbelievers, make believers, and real believers. Israel coming out by a prophet in the pillar of fire to go in is the type of what has come out of Babylon by the prophet with the pillar of fire to go up to the wedding supper and to the millennium. It's a type. Because we got a prophet in a pillar of fire, and they had a prophet in a pillar of fire, and they came out of a national land. We are coming out of every land of the spiritual kingdom of God. Now let's get this straight. It was the make-believers who knew something was there, but could not place it, that caused the death from that which is below. They took that which was from below, which was the flesh of quail, over that which was from above, which was manna. Now, let's see the scripture here, how this places it. We go to the book of James, the 3rd chapter. I hope you don't fill up real fast this morning, because some people complain they got to tune me out. Well, bully for you. I just say you ain't got what it takes. You be waiting till the squeeze comes down. I'm just semi-squeezed. Okay, my brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Everybody wants to teach something. That's why the pastors are running around instead of staying home minding their business. For in many things we offend all. If any man pen not in word, also able to, he's able to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths and so on. All right, we can leave a lot of that there. Let's go on down where it says in the 12th verse, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs. Now he's going right back to Matthew 7 and Matthew 24. concerning the false prophets and the false teachers. And this lies in the Word. See, it's got to be with the Word. Okay. If I'm going too fast, you ask your wife or husband, hit you on the head. Char your brains. No fountain can yield both salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out in a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. That's his actual behavior. For if we have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, and glory not, and lie not one against another. Now notice, for if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Now you notice right here, he doesn't discount the fact of troubles coming amongst us, a clash of personality. But he said, watch it, that you don't get puffed up, that you think you know everything. And the other guy doesn't know anything. And it says, and don't lie against the truth. See, watch that one thing. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And where envying and strife is, there is confusion, every evil work. Now listen, but the wisdom which is from above is first pure, then peaceable, and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without impartiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness sown in peace of them that make peace. From whence come wars, especially religious wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight more, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now remember, they wanted flesh. They wanted to go back. They wanted what they previously had when it had become taboo. Get those gifts and things off the floor. Put your church in order. Women do this. Men do that. Kids do this. Kids do the other thing. The church says, ain't no way. We think we're going to have this message with the old background. Then he tells you if you're Pentecostal, Roman Catholic, some type of Protestant, and God knows they're just too numerous and too wicked to mention, you've got still got that in your veins or down in your heart. You've missed out. You're messed up. There's something wrong. You're not going to make it. You got to get it out of your system. Right, listen. I'm going to tell you, and I don't want to hurt anybody, I won't mention the guy's name, but a very nice man, a dear friend of mine here in America, he began to go haywire when he said Brother Branham was wrong on predestination, and he went against me for teaching what Brother Branham taught, not knowing what Brother Branham taught. He wrote a book, Where Is He Today? Now, another man over in Understanding, down under, that's in the ANZAC, he's written a book against predestination. Now, that came out in Europe also. Now, there's another book against it. They don't want to believe what Brother Branham taught, showing they are legalists and Armenians, and they have not come out. They just think they've come out. For if they have come out, they're so loaded with what's still inside them. I say there's no use. After 17 years of prophet death, they haven't put their church on. Oh, we can't do it. It's too soon. I say, merciful God, if that's too soon, never mind the rest. And when I said that, the man printed the book against predestination. And he knew I preached in his camp meeting in Europe. That very article in the Church Age book, some man, I'll tell you, Richard Blair came against me. He upset me so much I phoned Brother Branham, cost me my money in those days for 45 minutes. That wasn't a penny. And I didn't have hardly a penny to my name. And I read what I read in that book, and he said, that's exactly right. And I said, hold it, Brother Branham, hold it. I'm going to break down every word so you know what I'm saying. I broke down every single word to that man in 45 minutes, and he said, Lee, he said, that's exactly right, and here's some more scripture to help you. See? They're still legalists. Back in Pentecost. Don't count me if you come out here with your lust. To lead you plumb astray every single time. That girl over there 10 years or 12 years ago now, and he cried. He said, Brother Vail, I can see that you're right. Turn right around and did something else. You correct that guy. Turn right around. Listen, let's get over that childhood nonsense. Amen. Get it out of your system. If the prophet said something, that's right, because you haven't got 1 ounce of vindication, but the prophet did. See? Yes, sir. Now, he says in here, you adulterers and adulteresses, what is it? Fornicating with the word of God. Know ye not that the world is the enemy of God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world's enemy, God. And Brother Branham said, one word off is the world. Just one word off and you're the enemy of God. You're right in the world. All it takes is one word off. That's what started the whole thing. Now listen, way back there when man had his chance for immortality, living and just having a wonderful time, bringing children to the world, how, I don't know, out of the ground, perhaps a spiritual miracle. They could have had it wonderful, and then they just turned it down. Now at the end time, God says that time has run out. They went from eternity to time, and now we're going from time back to eternity. One word outdid it. There won't be one word off this time, brother, sister. There's going to be a people who believe this word, and they're not going to get tired of it. Wherefore, therefore, whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth through envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He said, God resists the proud, gives grace to humble, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil who flee you. All right. We can see they were completely consumed with what had gone on. Everything they were looking at in the past and experiences. And God said, this wisdom you have is exactly wrong. All right, now, number 2. Numbers 21 and 5. Let's go back to it. And if all I do this morning is just clear myself with these 3 points and let you go, that's going to be okay. We'll recap the next message, the next sermon around. We'll just recap and quickly and go on to more material. I'm taking my time on purpose because I'm not taking my time on purpose. That's a lie. What I'm doing, I'm taking my time because I can't stop talking. Go on to the next point. Just ain't going to tell you any more lies because God knows my heart. I'm not so stupid to think you're that stupid. Okay, number 5. And the people spake against God. Notice they spoke against God. We can't stand this word. Well, who gave the word? God gave the word. Then you go against the word of God, you go against God. If you can't stand the word, you can't stand God.
I've been preaching for 1 hour and 10 minutes. Or have I been? No, I've been preaching, 1 hour and 5 minutes, 7 minutes. Are you worried? You have to turn me on? Well, thank you. That's very nice. By now, it would have been turned and tuned out. Well, come on. They ask for it when they talk like that. You think I'm going to stand up here and be some little nincompoop anymore? No more. No more. I'm not calling the shots as though I was God. I'm preaching this word.
Amen.
And for the first time, I've got people to stand with me.
See, you think I'm tough? I'm not tough on you. I'm just trying to get all the cobwebs and all the marbles out. Because believe me, brother, sister, it's worth it to you.
Amen.
It's worth it when that day comes that that hand reaches down, turns you plumb around, and you know that you know it you never knew before.
Right.
And remember, this word is doing it.
Amen.
And this is the only word that could bring about immortality. You say, Brother Dale, didn't those other men have that same experience? Yes, certainly they had the same I'm talking about. But it never could bring immortality. This is the hour for immortality.
Amen.
You see, because we don't have one bit of preeminence over those that died. We don't have one bit of preeminence. We're not important over anybody else. We don't have the edge on anybody else. We're not going to die.
Amen.
And I'd like you to... You see, what, I'm not afraid because, look, for the first time in my life, I know that Lee Vale doesn't have to worry about being Brother Branham or Moses or Elijah or anybody else. I don't have that complex anymore. I don't look around and say, you guys are so nice. I wish I was sweet like you and I was you. I'm not interested anymore. I'm interested in being me.
Amen.
In the image of Christ.
Amen.
I can walk over any time and feel good about it because I know for the first time, I have preached this for years. I talked to us outside one day talking to Lloyd. And he said, yeah, he said, remember when you preached that sermon on One Last Look? I plumb forgot I preached it. He said, what was that, a year ago, 2 years? Might have been 20, Lloyd wasn't though. I plumb forgot. Every sermon is coming back today, what I preach. Every thought I've extended these years is coming back. And I know I'm tired of it.
Amen.
See, you've got to be tired of it. We are a part of it.
Amen.
See, you mean to tell me that God could make something out of nothing? And then turn around and can't make something out of you which is something? Come on, for Pete's sake. He took Adam there, and he took the ground and formed him and made a wonderful man into a wonderful woman out of the two of them, man and woman, and there they stood. Most glorious creatures the world's ever seen outside of Jesus Christ. You mean to tell me he can't mold us? Oh, come on. Come on. You're dealing with Santa Claus or some fable out there, the three bears. I'm dealing with mighty God, everlasting Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the altogether lovely one. Hallelujah, I am. And the beautiful thing is He loves me. Now you can't figure that out. Neither can I.
Amen.
Two things I can't figure. And any man that's got a good wife will never figure how any woman could love him. Honestly, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. I'm not trying to flatter my wife. There's two things I cannot figure. How God loves me and wife loves me. Because they both know me. You people think you know me. But I'm secure in her love. And she's secure in whatever little love I've got. And I'm secure in His love. You know, when God revealed Himself to Abraham, He said, I'm your shield and exceeding great reward. That means I'm your protector and I'm your provider. You say, hold it. Shouldn't He be provider first? Hogwash! What use is provision if someone can get it from you? What if God would have doused His whole lap full of things and Abraham, ooh, I wonder if I can get it. Oh, I wonder if God would keep it. Oh, I wonder if you got this. I'll be protected. God said, hold it, boy. You don't get nothing. But first of all, it's guaranteed.
Amen.
That's the revelation this morning, Brother Zidron. That's the revelation of Ella, the strong one bound by an oath. The strong one who stands there and said, before I say one word to you about anything I've got for you, going to do for you, let you get this across. Whatever I say stands. Whatever I do stands. It's in my hands, not yours. Do you realize, brother, sister, that faith toward God has been wiped out? You have to worry about your faith toward God. Forget it. Forget it, dumbos. Forget it. He's here to do it.
Amen.
What are you worried about? What are you worried about? Have you tuned yourself out? Would you like to hear more? That's fine. That's what I'm here for. Can you ever get too much of Him? If you can, I don't understand. I'm at a loss. Evermore give us this bread.
Amen.
That's the song said that to you. All right, listen. I read it here. Fifth verse of 21. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Of all the hogwash. You know what those guys saw die? The serpent seed that ran for sex worship of a woman in Baal Peor. The guys that showed that they're a bunch of serpent seed. The messed up crowd. Oh, they never got as far as the manna. The flesh they got was the flesh of a woman, and they ran. She brought us out here to die. Oh, you think God sent a prophet to give you the kind of food that makes you vomit? Or you can't eat it, so you're going to starve and die. Are you dying this morning because there aren't Pentecostal gifts here? Or some little legalist doctrine? Are you dying this morning because it's all put on His shoulders instead of yours? You don't have to fast. Oh, it's good if you fast the odd time. But you can't make it by praying, so you better keep praying. Okay? Bunch of legalists. Ed, you bring us out here to die, for there is no bread, neither is there any water. Well, what do you call this here that'll keep you from stinking? It must have contained feet, because it didn't smell like a lot of billy goats. How many of you people can use out an underarm deodorant so you won't stink? None of you. Even the babies stink. You know they didn't stink? You know the sweat didn't make their clothes wear out? You know they had perfect health? The shoes didn't wear out? So let's face it. It isn't anything to do with this universe except the food that you and I eat. If we had ever get to the place where that Word of God is perfect, which it will be, the dead are going to come right out of the ground. The millennium sets in.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, they said, well, I tell you what, we got nothing but this me.
I am the bread that came down. In me lies the perfection that takes you across in immortality.
Well,
we loathe. It's too light.
Give us something heavy. What would you suggest? Well, that's Samson. I'm going to carry the gates of the city on top of the hill.
What have you got when you get there? Of all the stupid jackass things I've ever heard, do you know that that was an act of derision on the part of Samson to carry the gates on top of the hill? And yet people sound to be like Samson, carry gates. What are you, some Hercules? Some Atlas? And I'm just talking this way on purpose. I don't understand people anymore. I don't understand people thinking anymore. This light bread I loathe. What would you suggest? Well, I would suggest that we go back to the diet we had when we were in Egypt. And they died. They caused envy, malice, carnality from the wisdom which was below. Get with the manna. Do you know that every doctrine was wrong until Brother Branham came and pointed out the error? There wasn't one that didn't have something wrong with it. The best doctrine of all was predestination, and the best they could do was to say, He is always before me. But Brother Branham told us the Word of God, which sat there all the time. We couldn't see it. We were in His mind, in His thoughts. We were part of the Logos. Now, if we came from God, we're going to go back to God. Because all things are from Him and for Him and to Him.
Amen.
That's the way the Word is. From Him. See? And it's for Him and to Him. In other words, He's doing it all.
Amen.
He's doing it through vessels. Okay, listen. Verse 25 and verse 21. That makes believer and unbeliever actually stand... cannot actually stand the spiritually revealed Word. I said, make believer and unbeliever cannot stand the spiritually revealed Word of the hour. They can't do it. And eventually rebel and lead others astray, cause division and hardship and judgment. Crows can eat dog food. But
put out the wheat and a juicy stinking carcass.
Woo!
They forget the wheat right away.
Right.
And pounce on the carcass. And yum, 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 yum. You don't believe me?
Amen.
Let's make a test. Let's make a test. Manna left over gets worm eaten. Meebugs. Worm eaten. Where is the Armenian doctrine and these doctrines today? It's gone. Because, you see, that's what the Bible said. This is the condemnation. People are screaming in this message and talking about Brother Branham. So he took the blood off the mercy seat. And he did this and he did that. It's been done 6 times in 6 church ages. And now it's done the 7th time in 7 church ages. The efficacy of the blood in the person of Jesus Christ is null and void. When the light shines and they don't come to the light. What's the matter with people? I'm preaching to myself. Don't worry, the devil will come back on me in a hurry, but I got a great God.
Amen.
They will go to their own carrion whenever they can find it. Let's go to John 8 if I can find it. In John 8 it says in verse 37, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Harris!
Let this be on the tape. As nothing else is Abraham's seed were the ones that killed Jesus. And Abraham had a son called Ishmael who mocked Isaac. And as Terry put it so beautifully, God didn't even look at Ishmael. He said, take thy son, thine only son.
Amen.
I am hitting hard this morning, brother, sister, from the actual conversation that has gone on in the last little while. Are you so late today that you think you can frivolously turn aside because you have friends or parents or God knows what? Let me tell you this about my family. My mother, I believe, died a sinner. I hope she didn't, but I believe she did. The blood of Jesus is greater than the blood of my mother. She'll stand on her own merits. And so will you when you are past 12 years of age, stand on yours apart from your parents. But if you decide because of your parents or your background, let me tell you this. You know nothing at this time of the things of Almighty God. You have the wisdom which is sensual and carnal. Come out this morning. We're hitting hard. I'm doing it on purpose. Let's see where it goes.
Amen.
Let's see where it goes. Yeah. He said, Brother Vail, what about my mother and father? That's none of your business.
Right.
That's none of your business. When the word comes, you better take that word.
Amen.
My mother withstood me when I was born again or saved, first of all. Oh, my mother wasn't religious till that moment, but she suddenly became very religious because she could swear faster than I could, and I could swear faster than a horse could gallop around the Kentucky Derby racetrack there. I don't know who outswore each other. But she became very religious when I got saved. I said, okay, Mom, make it easy. Tell you what, I'll go to your... Oh, the old hypocrite, that's all she was. Sorry about that, Mom, but... that's the way it was. A pseudo role. I'm not saying she hadn't liked anything. Maybe she's a good woman as far as good people. Oh, she was. But I'm laying this on. You get this flat. You, a lot of you folk got parents living. Let's get this very flat about parents. Because that's one thing to do with you. You're going to stand before God. And this message, what you know to be true, is going to be the judge. So I said, okay, Mom, I tell you what. I'll go to your church in the morning. She didn't have one. You come to mine at night. She said, okay, son, I'll do it. I knew I'd never have to go to her church and never did. The day came, she went to mine. I don't know if she ever got anything or not. I hope she did. I hope she's just one of those that maybe as far as she could go, she went. I wouldn't say she'll miss the white throne and not come up in the second resurrection. I believe she will, because in spite of all the things that were very peculiar about her, I believe underneath there should be one of those that rise in the second resurrection. I'm going to tell you something. The woman never had light. But what about those who turned down light? She never did have light. No. No, she was in a limbo all of her life. She did the best she could in many, many ways. And she did real good in many, many ways. But I want to tell you, when it came to the light, she just wasn't there. What about you this morning? Are you still looking back on some genealogy, your father, your mother, or something? You do it if you want to. But remember, your blood is on your hands, not mine, because I spoke in my peace this morning.
Amen.
Yeah. He said right here, you're Abraham's seed. He said, I don't doubt that at all. I know it. Now he said, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. They said, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, if you're Abraham's children, do the works of Abraham. Now notice one place in there, they claimed not only to be seed, but they said we're children. Because Ishmael was seed, but he wasn't a child. In other words, he never had a part of the genealogy. He never was reckoned with those of the election. He was reckoned with those of sheer lust. Animal. Every child is born a sexual lustful desire. But there's a whole lot that are born because God wants them and they'll come to Christ. He said, you seek to kill me. A man that told you the truth which I heard of God, this did not Abraham. You knew the deeds of your father. They said, we be not born of fornication. They knew serpent seed. See? For we have one Father, even God. Now notice, you say, well, just a minute. Couldn't they call the fact that Abraham had Sarah fornication? No way! Polygamy was legitimate. It was Eve
Because notice the next word it says in there, we have one Father, even God, or God is our Father. We have one Father, even God. And that goes back to Adam, who was the Son of God. And remember, the genealogy never included Cain. No way. All right. Now Jesus said, if God your Father, you love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're the father, you're devil, and the lust your father will do, he's a murderer, and so on. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father. But because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can find me in error in one word? If I do not say the truth, why do you believe me not? Now you see, Eve was in error on one word. He that is of God, listen, he that is of God heareth God's words. Do you understand that that's the test?
Amen.
You've got to come to the light. I couldn't get saved. If I was going to get saved today, I could not get truly born again in Pentecost. No way. I've got to come to this message. And since this message doesn't have sensation, people are getting scared stiff that they haven't got something. How, what in the world has that got to do with it? Every year, every time God brings his word, it's got its own earmarks. Because you're not of God, he said, that's John 3:19, brings the light. Then answer the Jews, say we not, well, thou art a Samaritan, has the devil. That's always the answer. We're of God, you're the devil. We're of God, you're the devil. Every time the light strikes, see? They made him a Samaritan. You see, he had a good gift of prophetic ministry. So they said, well, he's at least bastardized. That's what it is. He'll 10 generations before he can come to the temple. Yeah. 10 generations of the junk that he preached and he'll die down. You're just a jerk. They said, a Samaritan bird. A messer-upper. Jesus said, I do not have a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There's one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily I say, if a man keep my saying, you shall never see death. What saying's that? Not the saying back there. They died. Well, you say, Brother Dale, that means that they won't die physically. Oh, come on. Or spiritually bankrupt, apart from God. You see? I got to twist that back. Because I said, you say, well, it'll say that physically, not physically. But it actually refers to the fact never see death is not a spiritual concept, because he is talking in terms of a reality from Abraham on down. He's talking in the physical. It's a spiritual, but he's putting the physical. The Jews said, now we know you got a devil. Now watch how they understood him. Abraham is dead, and the prophets are dead. And you say, if a man keep my saying, you'll never taste the death. Are you greater than Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say he is your God. Now look it. He is letting them know that. Absolutely. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Jews said, you're not 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to stone him. He is literally telling them that there are people who will not die.
No, sir, they will not die. No way, shape, or form.
All right. This fact that they're believers and make believers cannot stand the spiritual revelation. They will rebel and lead others astray. They cause division, hardships, and judgment, because the crow will eventually leave the dove food because he loves the carrion. That was exactly what we saw under here in John 6, 60-66. The disciples heard the saying, and they murmured, said, who's going to take it? See? Now, notice in John 15:24, that's the verse I quote many, many times to you. If I had not done the works of other men, did they not sin? But now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. All right, what when he becomes the Word manifested at the end time, and they hate that Word? They loathe the Word. They can't stand it. You're going to tell me that they don't hate God? Come on, listen. We're not babies anymore. You can't have your cake and eat it anymore. You've got to come to the place where either this is it or forget it. The prophet said there's got to be an ultimate.
Amen.
There's got to be an ultimate, brother, sister, or we're off track. John 10:33, the very same thing we see here. The Jews said, Jesus and said, for what good work do you stone me? They said, not for a good work, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, makest yourself God. Now, back to number 16, 1 to 3. Now, let's look at this thing, which I mentioned. And I mentioned it out of the very fact that how the manna was turned aside. Now, Ammon, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, and so on. Son of, is that they rose up before Moses, verse 2, with certain children of Israel. 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Listen, people who say, we believe this message, we stand with Brother Branham, we honor him, are going to turn on this word. They can't help themselves because the type has been laid out. They can't help it. You say, Brother Bear, will you turn? By the grace of God, I don't believe I will turn, but I can't speak for myself. From what he's told me so far, what I've seen, there's no way I can turn. Now they gathered against them, they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron, and said, you take too much upon you, seeing the congregation are all holy, every one of them, the Lord is among them. Listen, the Lord is among them. That's right. Therefore lift you up yourselves against the congregation of the Lord. Now listen, he's amongst us just the same as that day, and people rise up against the Lord and against his anointed. Don't think we don't hear the tape. A man, a man, a man, a man, a man. Sure, I'm just a man. I got news for you. If you don't know it, you don't love me because I'm sweet, honest, and wonderful, because I ain't. If I've got to look in your eyes and tell you today the only reason you're here is because of this word, then I'm fooled and you're fooled. We're all fooled. Let's go home and forget it. Let's go out and get drunk. Because we've got a big headache now and a bigger one just might help us. Because I don't believe you're here for anything but the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't believe there's one person sitting here because of my personality. I can't stand it myself. I said, I saved God from puke, and I looked in the mirror and puked for him. I'm not telling you a lie. I'm telling you the truth. Exactly how it is. Sure, if you're here for any other reason than this Word, because this word slashed and cuts and bleeding, it cuts me as hard or harder than cuts you. Just to line up with this word in our mechanics. So the dynamics of God can fill it. Because when Brother Branham correctly said, when he said, let there be light, the light might not have come for 2,000 years. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection light, he that believeth in me shall never die. It's taken 2,000 years to prove it. But there's people sitting here this morning who will not die.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because it struck you. The Spirit of God has struck the Word and made it alive to you. I'm not going to die. I'm going to walk in. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that.
Amen.
See? I want to hit those gardens with Jesus in the midst. Yes, sir. Now listen, here is seen repudiation of the message and messenger. John 13 and 20. We know that. Whosoever receiveth whom shall I send? I'm a Matthew. I can't quote that out of Matthew. Thought I got there in an awful big hurry. 13 and 20. Truly, truly, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. And he that receives me receiveth him that sent me. Now that tells you that. Okay. With that, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, everlasting life. Now God sent his Son out in the world to condemn the world, but that the world to him might be saved. Now listen, he's telling you something. If that Son was here with God in him to reconcile the world, then God here without the body has to be the same yesterday, today, and forever, because that body was not here yesterday. And that body is not forever. It is only God. Then he is here to reconcile the world. What world? The world of the godly. Not the world of the ungodly. There's two worlds, you know. There's the world of the godly, ungodly, which died in Noah's day and still ungodly is here. And there's the world of the godly. Because there are two worlds. Anybody knows there's two worlds. Spiritual and unspiritual. Okay. Now, remember, he came unto his own. That's what he always comes to. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation lights come in the world. In other words, when the revelation comes, that's the thing that counts. People say, what about the miracles? They're fine, but that's not it. It's the Word. See? All right. Let's go to 1 John 3. I'm cutting this short because we dealt in it. That is this section. I'll go over it again. Don't worry. Always repeat and repeat until it gets through to you. 1 John 3:11-15. For this is the message you heard in the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who is that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now listen, right here, people want to go to love, 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 love. Let's read it the way it's written. Okay. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. And what's the love all about? Loving God, loving his word. Because that's where the thing started. He couldn't take the revelation of God. He couldn't take the word of God. He couldn't take God. He killed his brother. Then where are the roots of love? Now what's all this hogwash? Love, 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 love. Says not his king. Oh my. Just as long as his Abel did not bring up his revelation, Cain and him got along real good. A typical Pentecostal pussycat. Sure. Sure, as long as Abel didn't say a word. Wonderful. See? That shows where love is. You understand what I'm saying? Is that my point getting across to you? That's where love is. Love is that which speaks itself in the Word of Almighty God and the revelation thereof. That's why he said, they have both seen and hated both me and my Father, and they say now, hold it, hold it. We don't stone you for a good work. He said, but you do whether you want to admit it or not. Oh, we don't hate you, but you do because I gave you the Word. Oh, sure. So let's understand Scripture. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. Notice, Cain's works were unrighteous, but Abel's were righteous. Yet the Bible said that Cain's sacrifice was absolutely beautiful. It was termed as that which would be approved of God, as it were. But Abel's was greater. See, they both came out of the Word. Marvel not, brethren, the world hates you. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know no murder is eternal life abiding in him. Now let's get to this and understand this one. Because right away you're going to get thrown again. Oh, I mustn't have any feelings. I mustn't defend the word. A certain man said, I don't fight anymore. I just refuse to fight. Brother Paul Berg said, merciful heavens, Lee. If this message ain't worth fighting for, what is? The guy just lost all his fight for everything. Come on. Let's go to Malachi, the 3rd chapter. You're going to get more of this as time goes on, but not this morning, because we need this one time. Malachi 3 and verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In the day when I make up my jewels, I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between righteousness, not righteous, righteousness and wickedness. You'll know what Cain and Abel is all about at the last time. And you won't be fooled by this phony love and hypocrisy. You'll see it's word, 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 word. And you'll talk to each other. And on that basis, you'll love each other because there's an understanding the covenant of God is amongst you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know I'm telling you the truth. I ain't lying to you. Number 3. My introduction is almost over. I'll fool you on the body. I'll just leave it. It won't take any time at all. Eating that manna. I am that manna. See? I am that which actually charges your body to take you in. Your garments won't stink. How could those beautiful garments stink? We're putting on inside. Change in our very atom. How are you going to do the stink and sweat? How's your shoes going to wear out? Oh my, listen, we're going to God's great millennium, brother, sister. Let's not fool around and look at these cheap hamburger stands on the roadside. Come on. Oh, brother, sister, that was okay, little tiny kid. But you're grown up now. Manna is what you love. Certainly, you ought to be used to it by now. Sure you are. Okay, the 54th verse I read. And it said, whosoever drinketh my blood, eateth my flesh, I'll have eternal life, I will raise him up the last day. All right, but notice verse 58. This is that bread that came from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna, and you're dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. That's now. He said, they ate that, they're dead. Please, I'm telling you something. There's the people that's going to go in. What do you want to eat this morning? It's up to you. See? Okay. This is John 11. 25, 26, which I read. He stood there and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. And he proved it. He raised him that whosoever liveth and believeth and dieth, and though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that man Lazarus was dead, and he proved it. Now he's going to be here to prove this. That's when he's going to prove it to you and me, because we're going to see the dead come out of the ground. I know a lot of folks here, I'm going to be the first one to see Brother Branham. I don't know who is, and I don't care. Just as long as I get there.
Amen.
You know, all this hogwash is over somebody. Somebody, somebody. You know, it always ends up in lies and hogwash and trash.
Right.
What does it matter who sees Brother Branham at all? Except we will see him being part of that age. When he comes out of the ground, sure. But I intend to see Abraham too. You know, I want to get back to my real forebears. I've got a real tree. It's called the tree of life. Sure, that's everything counts in that one. Okay. 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. You believe this? Absolutely. I do believe it with all my heart. Now, I'm going to read you and close off. Because that's the introduction. I think after a nice introduction, every speaker ought to sit down. All right. The 12th chapter of Hebrews. He that refused not him that speaketh. People want to say he quit talking. Oh, that's the worst mistake they ever made. Because he walks with me and he talks with me. That's not the fancy of a songwriter. That's communion, the prophet said.
Amen.
Yes, sir. For if they escape not or refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall they not escape if we turn away from him from heaven. It doesn't say speaks from heaven. It says him that is from heaven. Now he was on earth. He died. He went back. And that body can't come down here except for the millennium. And he's going to speak once more, that one from heaven. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those which cannot be shaken may remain. Now listen, when does that happen? And we receiving a kingdom, wherefore we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God's a consuming fire. When? At the end time. He's never been a consuming fire before. This is Malachi. Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, yours shall burn like an oven, and all ye that are pounded with it shall be consumed, leaving neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun rise, your eyes, healing his wings, and you'll go forth as calves of Saul, and you'll tread down the wicked and the ashes under your feet. Behold, I send you Elijah the great and coming, because the coming great will be every day, Lord, and he'll turn the hearts of children back to fathers, so that you'll stand right there with Abel. Imagine standing right there with the firstborn one of a true human seed. You know that you're going to only be a true human being when your atoms are changed? Because you and I got too much of the old serpent in us. You know the serpent has a dominant trait, and therefore we are more dominant in the natural than the spiritual. But don't let that bug you. Don't let it bother you. I'll tell you why. Because God's going to overcome.
Amen.
You're not going to overcome, brother, sister. I'm going to tell you facts. You haven't got a prayer.
Right.
There's no use even praying. There's no way. The only prayer you can say, Lord God, let it be unto me according to thy word. Because I can't do any more. Look at Mary. Mary couldn't bring forth that child without male intervention. She said, I don't even have a man. I'm married to a man to have a child by. He said, you don't need one, what I'm talking about. In other words, human instrumentality is gone. It's between you and God alone. I can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you but God. See? All right. Now, what's this subject about? Subject is all about the fact that there are those who love and those who hate.
I'm going to prove it again. Just in case you missed it. 1 John 3. This is the message. I got one thing to tell you. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. You stand up there and say, hey, just a minute. We don't hate you. He said, you do. He said, you do hate me and my Father. He said, if I had not done the mighty works another man did, you'd not sin. But now, you have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Oh, see, Brother Bill, that was a stinking bunch of Jews back there. That's a bunch of Gentiles right here. Guys, you say, I don't hate him. Now, that's very nice of you, honey. But you're the same big rotten liar I was. When God said to me, call that not common and king as God has sent, I said, now, Lord, I know you mean well, Lord. And I thank you for it, you're so sweet. But you see, Lord, I know better. I'm just a heathen. I'm rotten. You can't do a thing with me. 45 years cost me of my life. So his hand reached down, I knew better.
Amen.
We're not talking about what you think, brother, sister. We're talking about what God says.
Yeah.
Now, John says, this is the message. That we love one another. That's it. Let's run with that. Shut up! John 3:16 doesn't any good if you take it out of context.
That's right.
So what's he talking about? Not as Cain. Not as Cain. Cain had an excellent sacrifice. No revelation. And he killed his brother. Do you know the poison word will kill? Do you know that one word will kill? Add one word, take one word is death. What it says. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Now he said, listen, why did he kill him? His works were evil. What evil work? Sacrifice unto God illegitimately. Claiming a position he didn't have. Abel turned around and said, let me tell you, there is a revelation that goes with this word. And the revelation says there is blood or the first fruit doesn't obtain. And he said, I'll get you. And he got him. And we say today, listen, there is no sensation. There is no physical evidence of baptism with the Holy Ghost and Pentecostal speaking with tongues and doing your hallelujah tap dance and the Roman Catholic Church having gone charismatic and adopted the Pentecostal ways, and every church in the world has adopted Pentecostal ways. They have sanctioned it. They're gone. They're gone. Now, who do you think is going to get it? I don't like it any more than you do. Sacrifice. There isn't any left. It's over. It always was the light, my brother and my sister.
Amen.
It always was the light. And the light points to the blood. And there'll never be a loss of the power of the blood.
Right.
It always was the Word. Never was any different. That's where the division is. I want to ask you a question. I won't ask the question. You already know it if you have anything to think with. Marvel not, my brethren, the world hates you. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. This is the message of love. Oh, kiss each other. Have a good time. Have a ball. Be sweet, sweet, sweet. Shut up. Shut up and listen. This is the message about Cain and Abel. Cain is what love is all about. And Abel loved God enough to go to the light and say, look, I'm wrong. What I do is wrong. I need help. I want whatever light he's got and need it. That's love. Because you see, that's love toward God. And he said, you'll have no God before me or any love before me. What are you? I'm Baptist. You done lost it right there.
Amen.
So, well, I'm Trinitarian. You done lost it right there. Well, I belong to this bunch, but you lost it right there. Because you're outside the name. There's only one place he put his name. Who are you? Well, this is going to kill you. But I hate to tell, I just don't like to cause a fuss, but it's going to, because it's going to make you really come against me, you see. But you see, I'm a little Jesus. I'm Mrs. Jesus.
Amen.
You're the one.
Amen.
Ooh. You blasphemer! Why do you say that? Because I'm Mrs. Jesus.
Right.
Catholic Church says that they're the bride of Christ. Them and who else? Give me one pope that had this infallible. Old Pope Pius rose up against the whole assembly of the Roman Catholic hierarchy. And he said, Mary has been ascended, is ascended bodily. And they said, don't do it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Because that's it'll alienate millions of people. There's no way you can say it. And the Pope said, I am infallible. I'd like to have seen that guy cure one wart. Never mind the cancer. Why didn't he give something? Why didn't he tell us something to show he had any authority? He had no authority. William Branham came on the scene. And he said, look, the girl said, look, Brother Branham, she's out there in the boondocks. Ruptured tendonitis, couldn't be moved. Tendons couldn't be moved. He said, you have faith? She said, I got all the faith in the word. He said, hogwash, you got all the faith in the word. You'd be up out of this bed and praying for me. He said, you ain't got no faith. He said, well, you believe God that my prayer will, to God will heal you? If I make the chandelier cord go this way, then reverse? She said, yes. He said, then chandelier cord go this way, did now reverse into this way. She jumped out of bed. I'd like to see the Pope even turn his eyeballs that fast both directions. Or both ears. My sister can make her nose like a bunny's. I can't do it. Guess I'm lost. You see what I'm talking about? Look at it. Foolishness, 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 foolishness against the Word of God. The one that's to speak one more time, the consuming fire, the fan is in his hand, and bringing your brides and men. And they say, well, we can't take it. Well, I've had enough of all this present. Are people angry because I have been used to God, hopefully, to bring this understanding? Not that Brother Branham didn't bring the understanding. Let's get this flat. I pondered this before he died. I tried to preach it after he died. But till 1977, it never came where it is today. And in 77, it isn't what it was, what it is today. Today it is a reality of life, and if God has used me a little bit, and I know he has, as a teacher to show the people the wonders of what is transpiring among us, because the wonderment himself is here, then am I to be blamed? Let me tell you something, brother, sister, what hurts me is this. When men themselves don't understand what is going on, and in ignorance fight, they're in trouble, and those that are with them for this reason. If you don't understand this morning, please do not come against me and this word. If you don't understand, don't you do it. Because something will happen to you. You say, Brother Vale, how do you know? He has never failed when he's told me. When that voice inside speaks, it's like an audible impression in my mind and my whole body goes through it. It has never failed yet. And he told me the day of Ananias, the fire is here. I might not see it, but you will. Don't fool with me. Don't fool this morning, brother, sister. Don't worry about Lee Dale as a man. You can forget him. But you respect this word here.
Right.
See? This word is real. The seals have been opened. This word has gone before kings and princes. This is the message of the kingdom, the last word that's gone around the world. It's the only one vindicated since the time of the Apostle Paul. Church historians who know admit, categorically admit that no ministry has been greater than William Brown's in this world. Now, where did he get it? He got it from God.
Amen.
Because it wasn't William Branham. It's not me, and I don't put myself with him, except my lot falls with him the same as yours does. And he said, you might have thought that I was talking about myself, seeing I was preaching this message. I have no more to do with the nothing, just the voice. Now, we've taken the introduction this morning, and you've seen by the word that they loathed the manna. They did not love it. It was contrary to them. It was. Now, this message, because it is the eagle, is contrary to the man. The lion was contrary to Israel. It snowed them, it fell them, it flattened them. And they said, let's kill him, because that's the only way to deal with it. Because those guys set the world on fire. The calf came in. The lowly oxen. They loved to die for the cause of Christ. And they did it through the dark ages, and the face of a man came in. And the man is the cunning of all, because in him lies the subtlety of the beast and the smartness of the man. And he stood there, and he preached the most fantastic sermons. But they had error in them. Now, you've got 4 billion people on earth. 1 billion of them. Christians. The face of a man comes against one eagle. And they said, who are you to tell us? Follow me? They'll get you. Abel, the kings are going to get you. But not all of you. And they won't kill you, hopefully. Although that would be nice if they did in a hurry. Because these Abels are not going to die. Because you see, the Abel back there was identified in a death and a resurrection, and we are not identified in a death. We are identified in a resurrection.
Amen.
I shall not die but live.
Amen.
That's one regret I have. I'm not going to get out of here. I hope I do. I'll be honest with you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Look, the word of this hour is we're not going to die. I would like to get out of here because I know already it's just so natural and so nice. Now, I haven't got that down to perfection yet, but he's working on it. Yeah. Yeah. Fun? That's nice. 2 hours. My. Just on introduction. Well, if I've introduced you to him and let you know what the reactions are in the world, it's been a good day. If I haven't helped you, I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If I haven't helped you, it's your own fault. Because I have stood up here and had thoughts come to me I never had in my life come to me with such clarity as this morning. If you haven't been helped, I'll pray for you. Because you need prayer. Because let me tell you, this word, brother, sister, is just like that manna. Moses might have brought it down through the grace given to him, just like the prophet did. But I'm going to tell you, Moses ate the same manna. William Branham ate the same word. By the grace of God, we're eating the same word. We are one flesh, we are one bread, we are one kindred, we are one Abel, identified in him. You see? He died for it, we're going to live for it.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for you having come down in our midst, given us a prophet to point you out, which is exactly according to the word. And everything in there was absolutely identified in the word. And we're grateful, Lord. We're glad we are apart this morning. Now, Heavenly Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that there won't be one person who misses any of the things that have been said, which are pertinent to them at this particular moment. In other words, Lord, building block upon block and cementing until, Lord, the very atoms are being changed in our body, which they are, and we're grateful for it. Father God, for those that must cast off the scene, their atoms are changing and going down for the soul and spirit to be released, to go to that spirit body. But there'll be others standing here whose atoms will begin to pick up like Abraham and Sarah of old. And absolutely, they'll be here standing when the dead come out of the earth. And they all rise, every one of us rise up to meet him who has incarnated himself in that lovely one who gave his life. That one way back there from the eternities who stood before the Father, now standing still for us. One day we'll stand with him who is that
Father incarnated in that Son, and we'll all be one in the glorious realms of the glorified bodies. Just to think, Lord, that you're going to take on a glorified body to be your glorified sons. We'll sing and shout and dance about what a time there's going to be, like little children, absolutely free, free, free as never before. Oh, how wonderful, Lord, those ethereal breezes blow upon us. How rich is that manna from heaven? Feed us evermore, O God. It is not that dull and lifeless thing. It is that living word, Lord. What we do is excoriate ourselves and hate ourselves because we've got so much of the flesh in us that we don't put all our time just on that word and all our thoughts upon you. Oh, God, may this church, when the time comes, even before times of dedication, as far as we're concerned, it's yours already. The whole thing, lost, stock, and barrel. May the people in this building coming and going nevermore have anything to say and to think except that wonderful word which is the flesh of our God. Lord, we think the thought of what belongs to the bride, which is the bridegroom. How wonderful, how propitious, how simple, how marvelous. All of this is, Lord, and we're so grateful. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. You can go singing. We'll walk in the light. Remember, that's what it's all about.